Praise God. Well, we've been in a series called Grace to the Humble. We're going to put up a few scriptures on the screen. We don't need to turn there, but we'll go over some of the scriptures we've covered before. James 4:6 says, He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, we've covered some aspects of this, and so if you miss these messages, go back and listen, because we're building. We can't go back and review everything, but we've covered some ground on this topic. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Right there, you can say, you can see, do you want to be in the group that God is resisting, or God, or the group that is getting the grace? We want to be in the second group. We don't want to be in the first group. We don't want to yield to pride. We talked about pride in some length, and there is nothing in the Bible but destruction associated with pride, over and over. But it says here, he gives grace to the humble. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, we can put that up. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Notice that. In due time. Most of us, we want it now. Right?
Absolutely.
No, not you. You are sanctified, set apart. You're saying, oh, long as it takes, I'm good. Our flesh, and just being in this realm, there's a tendency that we don't want it off in the future. We want things now. God, I'll go through this for an hour, but after that, I expect to break through. You know, a week's okay, but I've paid my dues. And that's not... We're not saying that God, has a super long timetable for things, but really, our attitude ought to be, God, I am going to do what you want me to do until forever. I mean, until I leave this earth, I'm going to do what you want me to do. So regardless, that's where I have to keep my eyes. If I start keeping my eyes on looking at time, somebody said it like this, time tries trust. After... People will believe God for a little bit, but what if time passes? We're not talking unbelief, but the Bible says you believe. If you're walking by time, we're walking by sight. When are we going to start believing? When it shows up? Well, you already missed it. You're waiting to see something before you believe. We need to believe now, and humility has a lot to do with faith. And we'll see that, and we've talked about it, but... Humility is submitting to God, putting ourselves under, ranking ourselves under what he wants us to do now and going forward. And that is not always easy on your flesh or on your mentality, on our natural understanding. Your mind can be saying, what? Why are we doing this? What? How is this going to work out? Hasn't been long enough. Why did this happen? What? And your flesh, just in its of itself, if you just let your flesh go, it's going to gravitate towards just self-gratification, doing whatever, whenever. And so our flesh doesn't want to be disciplined. Our flesh doesn't want to be told what to do. It wants to tell us what to do. And if we let it, it will rule us. But if we're going to submit to God with history, now we're not talking about your discipline and your ability and your, what somebody called, moral muscle. That's not how you walk this life as a Christian. We do it by his strength and by his grace, but we have to yield our will. He's not going to take us and make us do anything. The devil tries to do that, but God won't. He doesn't make people get saved. He doesn't make people serve him. Amen.
Amen.
He will not. And he's very patient. We need, all he needs is us to give him our will and decide we're going to do what he said to do. Now we're talking about personally, like his plan for your life. Also, what he said in his word. If we ever say, well, I can't do that, that's too hard, we're taking sides against him, the right? See, that's pride. If God told us to do something and we say, I can't, who's right? You or me or God? If God said you can do something or I can do something and we say we can't, well, somebody's wrong. And it's not him. Pride will say, that's too hard, I can't. You're asking me to do that, I can't. It'll make excuses. Humility will say, I sure don't see how. I don't feel like I could do it. This seems way over my head, but nevertheless, at your word, Lord, help me, show me, I'll go forward. That's humility. That's saying, I'm not going to look to myself and my natural ability and how I can do it. I submit to you. And then we tap into the grace of God. And when grace is such a big word, it's used, there's so many facets here. We're talking about his ability, the humble, being humble and submitting ourselves to what he would have us to do, we get the help. He never meant for us to do it in our own strength. He meant for us to rely on him. And it is faith when we look to him when we don't see how, when we don't see, we don't feel like it, when we feel like doing something else, when our ambition wants to do something else, and he says, son, daughter, do this, or the word says such and such, such and say, oh, I don't see how I can do that, but at your word, I'll do it. There is help there, because if he said to do it, there is enablement and strength with what he said to do. Amen? If he said it can be done, then we ought to say, yes, sir, you help me do it. I'll do it. All we need, he needs just a willing vessel. But if we stand back and say, I can't, well, how can he help that? He's not going to push. God does not push. The devil pushes. God will not. He'll nudge, he'll lead, but he does not drive. If you ever feel driven, like God is just pushing you to do something, it's not God. You can say amen.
Amen.
It's true. This will help you. This will help in our lives because Satan is subtle. He's crafty. He's devious. He's wicked. And one of his tactics is to try to get you to do something and tell you and maybe misquote scripture and he'll tell you that it's God. And if we don't know the word in certain areas, we can feel like, well, that's God telling me. He could beat you over the head and you think it's God. And he'll quote scripture to you. Misquote it. He might quote it right, but he's using it out of context. He'll try to get you to believe that somehow God is trying to get you in a place, driving you. Well, God just won't leave me alone. God's forcing me. No, God, that's not God. Devils will do that. Demons will try to overtake a person. Demons will try to drive somebody. God will not. And he's more powerful. He's the most powerful being in the universe. Amen? He is good. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. He cares for you. Why do we trust him? Because he cares for us. See, pride will just say, I just don't know and I can't and I don't see how. And we got to be what? See, Satan is subtle. He'll try to get you to take sides against the Lord. And in nobody in their right mind, a Christian wouldn't say, well, yeah, I'm going to fight God now. But Satan's tricky. He tries to get you to divide yourself from God. And here it's saying, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him. Why? Because he cares for you. We're going to see this. Humility is trust. It displays trust because we are putting ourselves under what he said when we may not understand, we may not feel, but we're not going to take care about the situation. We're going to say, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to do your word. I'm going to do what your plan for my life is the best I can. I'm going to walk it out the best I know how, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to help me. And he will. Let's keep moving. Proverbs 18:12, just put that up, please, quick. Proverbs 18:12, it says, before destruction the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. We can see that what we just read in 1 Peter goes right along with that. It said that he may exalt you in due time. Here it says, before honor is humility. Well, trusting him, doing what he said, being in his plan, living along with his word. See, humility, or let me say it this way, pride is weakness. Pride is weakness. Not being able to admit your fault is pride. Insisting that you do it your way is pride. And that leads to destruction. Real quick, put up, these are in review, but go ahead and put up Isaiah 14. It shows here a picture of Lucifer, who is called Satan. Now, but he was, as far as we can tell, he was an angel of God. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart. Now notice this. This is pride, and we are now focusing on humility, but notice the pride. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Do you see? This is Satan. He is saying, I'm going to do what I believe I want to do. And that included going against the Almighty. This is not humility. This is doing what a being wants to do. And Satan, this is Satan himself, this was the example, and this is what he tries to get us to do. Do it yourself. Do it your way. Do what you want to do. And that is not the example of our master. That's not the example of Jesus. As a Christian, we are to be dependent on him. See, pride is a failure to yield to God's way. It's doing it your way. Pride assumes and it presumes. It's like, I'm going to do this. God, and I'll ask God later. It makes us susceptible to deception. Pride does. It blinds. Pride blinds. You can't see. I mean, seriously, Satan is going to take out God. That's not a good idea. I mean, the creator. He has always been, Satan, or Lucifer at that time, is a created being, and believes it's a good idea to go against the Almighty. Now we may say, that's so foolish, that's so dumb, it's so clear. But that's, see, Satan's subtle. He'll try to get us to move. Well, you know, you can't do that. I mean, that's just hard. That's too hard. Talking about what God said, that's hard. How are you going to do that? How is that going to happen? That's subtle. It sounds like, well, you know, you shouldn't. Yeah, that is hard. You're right. If it's what God said, we are actually being proud. That is a form of what we just read here. And we don't want to do that. But Jesus gave us a different way. Luke 22:41. Let's go look at that and we'll keep moving. I know this is review, but just getting everybody on the same page here. Luke 22:41. It says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. This is when he was in the garden, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Notice that. That's our example. That's the Master. The Lord God himself, come in the flesh, said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. See, that's not his will. That's not what he thinks is a good idea. He is submitting himself to what the plan of God the Father. Philippians 2:5, we read this as well. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he what? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Like we read in 1 Peter, that he may exalt you in due time. See, as a believer in the God's kingdom, the way up is down. In the world tries to load it over you. The world is dog eat dog, stab you in the back, help you if it helps me. God's kingdom is not like that. It is you humble yourself and do what? Our own plan? No, what he asked us to do. And that takes faith. And that takes casting your care on him. Because in this world, it's like, well, what am I going to do? What is about such and such? If I do that, they're going to take advantage of me. Well, I'm not saying we should be a doormat, but if you're led by him, we're not going to be a doormat. There's a difference between being a doormat and yielding yourself to the Spirit of God to be used, and over time, he's got a good plan. He's a good God. He knows everything. He knows where you're going. He knows how to get there. It says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. Say it this way, Jesus gave us the example of being humble. He had all power. He put it aside. The Bible says he came as a man. He walked this earth as a man, 100% God, 100% man, but he walked as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He had to yield to God and what God would have him to do. And we covered some of these scriptures last week. Let's go over them, and so you can, if you weren't there, you can mark some of these down, and then we'll go a little further. But why don't we go ahead and turn over to John? We'll look at, it won't hurt us to look at some of these again, because there's a whole bunch of them in John. John 4:27. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. God is faithful. God is good. God has a good plan for everyone in here and within the sound of my voice. He is faithful. And if we'll trust him and do what he would have us to do, he will get us to the right place. What other place do we want to go? What other plan do we want? Do we want his plan? If we're not going to do his plan, what plan are we going to do? I mean, what is there an option? If we're going to be asked, do you want to do God's plan? Well, most people would say, yeah. Well, then, if we're not going to do what he asked us to do in any area, for any reason, what are we choosing? We're choosing not to go on his plan. Now, nobody, we wouldn't necessarily choose that consciously, but we need to just say, but sometimes there are, there are challenges in this world that will try to push you off God's plan. And we have The examples that we see around us in the world, most of them aren't godly. They're not telling us to submit to the Lord. We've got to be careful about what we read and what the advice we get in any area. What, any area? Business, relationships, children? Is it lining up with the Word of God? Because otherwise, it might sound good, but it's not tested and tried, and it will take us a place we don't necessarily want to go. God's Word will always bring us in the right place. It won't harm us, and His plan will always bring us along a good path. John 4:27, it says, and at this point His disciples came, and they marveled that He had talked with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to Him. In the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But He said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought Him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." To finish His work. To do His will and to finish His work. Well, this is Jesus. This is our example. Go ahead and look at John 5:30. Just go through these. We went through these last time, and then we'll move on, I think. John 5:30 says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me." I can of myself do how much? Nothing. This is Jesus. Jesus said, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Look at John 6:38. It says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." The will of Him who sent me. Jesus said Himself, "I have not come to do my own will, but Him who sent me." Who's our Lord? Who should be our Lord? Jesus. Well, is He a good example or not? If the Almighty come in the flesh said, "I don't do my own will," then what about us? We have a better idea? Well, you know, no, my plan is pretty good. In fact, it's awesome. My plan's awesome, and we're going to go with that. You know, I don't understand what God's telling me to do, but I'm going to go with my plan. Well, nobody in here would be like, "Oh, yeah, that's a good idea." If you heard somebody say that, you know, we don't even want to talk about the thoughts that may be going through your head at that point. Okay. Let me know how that works out for you. No, if you cared about the person, you may not do that, but see, it usually doesn't sound like this. But the enemy subtly tries to get us to do our own will, but that's not the example that Jesus gave us. John 8:28. John 8:28. "Then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself.'" See, we're seeing this over and over. "But as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone," and He hasn't left you alone either. Everybody say, "I am not alone."
I am not alone.
If you're a Christian, you're not alone. Everybody say, "I am not alone."
I am not alone.
He is with me. The Spirit of the Lord is with me. He is in me. He is for me. He is helping me. He's my guide. He's my counselor. He's my strengthener. He's my comforter. I'll follow Him. I have not been left alone. The devil will tell you you're alone. The devil will tell you, what has God done now for you? Where are you? What are you doing? Where are you going? He's a liar. I said he's a liar. We need to stay strong and know, and when the word says something like this, we say, yes, he is with me. The Bible said he will never leave you nor forsake you. In Hebrews, we say what he said. He said, I can. Or no, he said, the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Look at that. Imagine that. That should be our confession. I always do those things that please him. Not please me. Please him. That's humility. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Look at John 15. John 15. He said, John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Don't like that much either. Being pruned is not fun. That's another sermon. But just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. Did I say that right? Just because you're uncomfortable, that's too many negatives. Just because you're uncomfortable does not necessarily mean you missed it. He just said here he'd prune you. What does that mean? Well, he's going to get you ready for more. We don't like that in the flesh. We don't like that. Let's be honest. You guys just look at me. Well, I like that. No, come on. You don't like it anymore, and I like it. Your flesh does not like to be told what to do. It does not like to be disciplined. It likes it after the fact. It's like, ooh, see what we did. No, you didn't do anything. If I let you do what you wanted to do, we wouldn't be here. You know, you ever get done exercising? Ooh, that was a good workout. Yeah, where were you before the workout? You wanted to stay in bed. You know, and go eat a donut or something. And then, now, and you make your flesh do something that's like, ooh, that was good. I feel good. Shut up, flesh. You're going to do what I tell you to do. This is a constant struggle. You will deal with your flesh until the day you leave it. You notice that? We, the person in us, that's not our flesh. Our flesh is our earth suit. We're going to get around it. We're going to use it. And then we're going to leave. We're going to get a way better one. Thank God. Built to last. Not built like this, you know, fallen body. But he said he would prune us, but that's another thing. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus said, you can't bear fruit unless you abide in me. People look and say, well, people are doing stuff all the time and they don't even profess to be a Christian. Yeah, but is it going to last? Is it what God would have us to do? Is it what God would have them to do? You can do things that look good, but if God is saying do this, and this is the way you ought to live your life, and we don't do it, and we do something that looks good, we're not obeying him. We're not doing what this said. Now, we're going to get into a little bit his way of doing stuff. It's not hard. We're not talking about being hard. Like, we just have to be conscious of the fact that there are forces and circumstances that are going to try to push us off what he has called us to do. And we need to be focused. It's subtle. It'll try to get us off and not to humble ourselves and stay in the place that he has for us. But he said, you can't do it without me. So we need to say, God, whatever you said, that's what I'm going to do. Wait, what about this? Whatever he said, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, but you're so good at X and Y and Z. No, but what he said, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, but you could really make a lot of money over here. Whatever he said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it the way he told me to do it. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. You can't do anything without him. I can't do anything without him. That's humility. Pride will say, well, I can do some things. See, the devil said, I'm going to take God out. I want to ascend to the throne. Your flesh will say, I can do this. I can do such and such. I'll do this. And we have to watch that and say, wait a minute, what did God say? Because he said, I can't do anything without him. When we stand in the presence of Almighty God, and we all will, eventually, if we're Christians, we're going to stand there in heaven. Do we want to be thinking about our plan and what we went off and all the rabbit trails we went off and did, or that we did what he told us to do? Which one? Help me out. We want to know what we want to be there and hear what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Doesn't mean you're a perfect servant. You're faithful. That means we're going to keep doing what he told us to do. If we miss it, we get up and keep going. If we deviate for a little bit, we come back and say, wait a minute, that was stupid. I'm going and doing what you told me to do. And he is good, and he is faithful, and he is long-suffering and merciful. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, no. Well, I got to pray for 3 weeks before I get the will of God, you know, before I can get the will of God, because I don't want to make a mistake. Good night. I don't want to get out of the will of God. I want to be humble. No, God knows you. He knows how you operate. He's an intelligent being. You're an intelligent being. He knows how to communicate, and it's the heart. If we'll say, God, whatever you want, I yield to you. Our heart is after him. He will make sure you understand. He will get it across to you. And if he has to send 100 people across your way, he's not getting it. I'm going to send another person. He's not getting it. I'm going to say, he will do it. He knows how to talk to you. Do you believe that God is intelligent enough to get across to you what he needs to get across to you? Now, if a person's hard and say, I want to do it my way, that's the problem. If you had a child, you know, whether it was your child or somebody else, and they had a heart to help, and you could see they just wanted to go and do the right thing, you would work with that person. You would work with that child. Well, hey, honey, what if they're not getting it? You say, well, forget it. You're not getting it. You're going to make your bed. You can go lie in it. No, you'd be like, hey, you'd explain it to them. That's not ever the problem. The problem is when somebody, kid's like, well, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, now I don't care if the kid's very intelligent. We have a problem. Well, I have a better way. You're looking at them. You know, you're how many decades older than them. You know, I'm talking about wherever. Maybe there's somebody else's child. Maybe they're your child. Maybe they're, you know, in a teaching capacity. That's pride. We don't ever want to do that. Our heart, as long as our heart's towards God saying, Lord, what you would have me to do, I'm going to stay and do that. That opens the door. That's how we hear from him. We're willing to do what he told us to do. And if we keep this in mind, we can't do anything apart from him. See, humility is not weak. Humility is strength, and it displays trust in God. If you believe this, see, this, that last phrase, for without me you can do nothing, that flies in the face of a lot of worldly understanding. And we have to watch it, because the world will tell you, you can do anything. Okay. The Bible also says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That applies for what he told me to do. It doesn't apply for what I make up. I can do anything. That sounds like Lucifer, doesn't it? Yes. I'm going to take out. Oh, if you just believe you can do anything, I believe I'm going to take out God. How did that work out? That is the wrong spirit. I can do anything. It's good to believe that you can do what God told us to do. It's got to be in the context, he is first, I put myself under what he said, and now if he told me to do it, I can do it. That's the proper order. And it takes humility and faith for you to say, I can't do anything without him, therefore I'm going to him. Lord, what you want me to do, I'll do. And then faith and humility to say, I don't see how my ability lines up. I don't feel like it. I don't see the finances, or I don't see, you know, the relationships or the network, but at your word. That is trust saying, I can't do it. If we go out of it and say, well, I can do it, so and so, that's getting out of where we want to be with Him. It is so important that we stay lined up with what He would have us do. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You believe God is helping us this morning. We pray that God is helping us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go over to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 25. Praise you, Lord. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now he said, we just read a whole bunch of scriptures, Jesus did what he saw the Father do. He did the will of the Father. He came to do what the Father would have him to do and not his own will. Notice here, I'm going to read this whole section again and then we'll focus on the last part, but I want to touch on a few things through it. Verse 25, it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. It says this in multiple places in the scriptures. It talks about this attitude. It says, not many mighty are called. Well, why is that? God knows the heart from the beginning. God is the only one that truly knows a person's heart. He knows what's in there. He does not call by ability, natural ability. He doesn't call people to do a certain thing by your pedigree, by your history, by your background. He doesn't call you to do something by your education. Don't misunderstand me. He will use education, but our education ought to be submitted to Him. What good is a degree if it's in a field that God does not want you to go into? What does that do you? You might have some extra knowledge, but the time that you studied in that field could have been better used going toward what He truly has for you. He does not call people based on their skills. He can equip those He calls. He does not call the people that the world would say is equipped. And I'm talking about in every area because everybody has a calling to do something. What is God asking us to do in every area? He said these things, they're not revealed. You've hidden these things from wise and prudent. Quote unquote, wise and prudent. The people that could trust in their own ability or think they know more. Babes. People, didn't the Bible say to come have the faith as a child, to come as to God as a child. What does that mean? Whatever you say, that's right. A little child will look up to their parents. Generally, I'm talking about in a normal situation. like they know everything. And we know we don't know everything. But as far as they're concerned, if daddy said it, if mommy said it, that's right. Well, that attitude, hey, if God said it, okay, we can do it. God said it could do it, we can do it, we can do it. That's the attitude, that's a humble attitude. That's taking these words that we've read at heart. I can't do anything. Well, you can do all kinds of stuff. No, I can't do anything but what he told me I can do. Yeah, but you could go over here and do this. No, I can do what he told me I could do. Yeah, but you're smart in this area. I may have some knowledge in there, but he's smarter. He'll tell me what to do. Keep going, verse 26. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, Jesus is saying, you take my yoke, what I am giving you to do, on you. Now, he said, I can't do anything apart from what God the Father has told me. I can't do anything. I of my own strength, I can do nothing. But he said he could do it in what God told him to do. This is what it looks like to take his will and his direction upon us. It is not a heavy burden. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Did Jesus, when he walked about, did he look troubled all the time and frazzled and, oh my goodness, I am carrying the world? You do not know the pressure I am under. I mean, he's carrying, he is the Savior of the world. Nobody on the earth has a fraction of the call that he had. But he didn't go around, oh my gosh, this is a big deal. Not that he didn't take it seriously. But he walked with seeming just fluidity through the circumstances of life. Why? He was being led by God. He did what God told him to do, what his Father told him to do. And he said, here, my yoke, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. See, doing it God's way is not the hard way. The hard way is doing it our own way. And the enemy will try to tell you doing it God's way is the hard way. Try to get you to push away from what he's telling you to do and to do it your own way. And he knows full well, you do that unknowingly or knowingly, you're actually getting out of the place where you have the help. Because whatever God told us to do, there is help and there's enablement for us to do it. And humbling ourselves under that will cause us to get to the right place and have the help we need. In other words, we could step out of that in something we think we're going to start using our own ability, our own way of doing it, and we think that'll be easier. But actually, God said, my yoke, in the next part he said, my yoke is easy, but he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Go to the next verse, please. For my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. One reason that is because If we're doing what he told us to do, he's going to do the heavy lifting. It's his plan. It's his path. I didn't say everything would always be look easy, but if we're trusting him, if we're humbling ourselves under what he has for us to do, he told us it would be easy. Well, how's it going to be easy? Take no care for he, casting all your care on him, for he what? Cares for you. Yeah, but I don't understand. Yeah, but I don't see. Yeah, but I'm not sure about this. What we need to go back to is, what did he tell us to do? Are we taking his yoke? Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, that's faith. That's humility. Saying, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do. But no, his yoke is not supposed to be this burden. His yoke is not supposed to be a crushing load. Somebody said this, you have to disobey God in order to burn out. Let's say it again. You would have to disobey God in order to burn out. Well, if you're doing what he told us to do, what did he just say about that? That's easy, and his burden is light. What if we get to the point where, oh, it's just so hard. I just don't know if I can do this. Listen to the language, because it's saying, I can't do what he told me to do. Because Satan is subtle. If he can't get you to outright reject God, which he can for some people, he'll try to get you to reject what he's told you to do because it doesn't feel good, it's hard, there's this and that. And another thing he'll try to do is get you to do things God didn't ask you to do, but associate those things with what God did ask you to do, and then say what God asked you to do is too hard. When actually, we've picked up things that aren't necessary. And then get off what we are supposed to do because of those things that we weren't supposed to do anyway. Because Satan will try to overload you. Satan will try to push you. Satan will try to get you out of what God has for you. You, in humbling ourselves, is going and saying, Lord, I have to do what you told me to do. What do you want me to do? I believe this. So casting the care off, and making sure we're doing what he would have us to do. Casting the care off and then submitting ourselves to what he did ask us. He is faithful. One more scripture at least, and then we'll wrap up here. Verse 4 of John 10. Actually, we'll go verse 1, John 10, 1. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. Notice it says in verse 4, he brings out his own sheep. He goes before them and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. John 10:25 says, Jesus answered and said, answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Notice verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, we can go before God. Our heart, if our heart is after Him, saying, Lord, that's my will. I want to follow you. Satan will try to tell you, you can't hear God. There's this going on. How can you hear God? The Bible says His sheep hear His voice. The Bible says His yoke is easy. His burden is light. See, Satan will try to make it hard. You can't hear God, you're missing it, or this circumstance is going on, so it must not be right. We need to come back and say, look, I can't do anything apart from Him. God, I acknowledge it. I want to do what you would have me to do. I know your yoke is easy, your burden is light. The Bible says that I hear your voice. I'm your sheep, and I hear your voice, and I do follow you. Go down to verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Satan will tell you, you're going to miss it. You're going to mess it up. You're the one that's in pride. You're the one that's getting out of His will. And our combat has to come back and say, Lord, I'll do what you would have me to do. You show me I'm not going to do something else. I'm going to submit to you. And I trust you that you're leading me and guiding me and helping me. You're showing me which way to go. Because His path is good. Amen? Amen? He is faithful. He is good. He is a good God. He loves His sheep. Praise God.